there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Georgiani, and you're in for a special treat today, the Take Two family, so sit back and listen and learn. No phone calls today. This is a pre-recorded, brand new broadcast, and we have our dear friend Gary Zimak back with us for the conclusion of the mini-series we're doing with him. It's a three-part series where we're talking about fear and anxiety and worry, and today we're talking about how fear creeps into all of our relationships, you know, our work relationships, those we have with our family, our spouse, our kids, and so it's very important we bring Gary Zimak back. He's a best-selling author and speaker and radio host, and he's a dear friend of Take Two. So without further ado, I wanted to welcome back Gary Zimak to talk about fears. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Debbie. Thanks for having me back again. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, this one's going to be, I think, tougher than the other two when you visited Take Two recently. This one's going to be kind of tough because the questions that have come in on this are really painful ones. And I know that you're an author of, what, 14 books? And you've covered... Yeah, you said 14 is... Okay, so, and then are you writing your 15th one already? Because the Lord Save Me just came out. So are you preparing? Are you still praying about God inspiring you to write another book?
Me and the Lord are discussing that right now. So okay. I think another one's coming, but he hasn't given me all the material yet, so I'm not sure.
Okay, gotcha. So your newest released book is Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard. Great book, and I would definitely encourage the Take Two family to pick up this latest book or the whole library, the Gary Zimak Library, and you can find it at followingthetruth.com. But Gary, so this is our third and final time together for now. We'd love to have you back again for sure. Here's the situation. We get a lot of Take Two family members that write in, or we have a lot that come to us at Stand Tall, which is our ministry, our life coaching ministry, and folks can find us at standtalltoday.com. And they talk about how there is so many of these kinds of fears and in addition to worry and anxiety, but these real, genuine, paralyzing fears that they have. Like, I'll give you an example. There are a lot of couples right now that one of the spouses, they're in such fear that they're going to lose this person, that this person one day is going to come home and say, I no longer love you. I don't want to be married to you. I'm out of here. And they have and they live with this fear continuously. And so they alter their personalities and their behavior, and they change things just to make sure that that doesn't happen. And they find themselves walking on eggshells, and so they have all these fears. And then there's, how about this one, Gary? We get this a lot lately. And this one just breaks my heart because, you know, people do need to have to pay the bills. They have to.
Yeah.
And people are in fear of losing their jobs.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. What do you say?
Debbie,
do you say?
Well, I have to say, first of all, I can really sympathize with anybody in either of those situations. I've dealt with the family issues. I've seen friction in my family based on my following the Lord and based on my full-time evangelization work. And also, I got laid off 13 years ago from my 30-year career job as a computer programmer. So that launched my career as a Catholic speaker. But I'll tell you, Debbie, the past 13 years for me as a full-time author and speaker, I've struggled financially. It has not been easy. So I get that. And, you know, I'm not a therapist. I'm not a medical professional. But I'm an evangelist. And I've learned that Jesus really is the answer to all of our fears. That does not mean we don't consult other people or that we don't do anything. But ultimately, he is the answer, and he can help direct us. He has helped me, and that's what I would say. But I think the most important thing for anybody listening to know is that I get it. I get what fear is all about. I'm probably afraid of something at least once each day, to be totally honest. You know, and I've found that the Lord is always there, ready to help me with my fears. It doesn't mean the feeling of fear goes away all the time, but he's there, and he really is the answer. And hopefully, over the course of the next hour, as we do this program, we'll come up with some answers and really do something. I pray that the Lord will work through me to minimize some of the fears that somebody might be feeling right now.
So what you're sharing with us, and you're gonna unpack this even more as we continue this great conversation on fears, and with our dear friend Gary Zimek. But Gary, you're saying when we have these things that come in and it just starts to make our body, you know, like shake, and we get nervous and we start thinking about it, and the thoughts keep going around and around in our heads, and then the fear sets in, and then we find ourselves being fearful of other things. You know, it has that
Absolutely.
Ripple effect, right? And so, but you're saying that the God is the answer. So we must practice Jesus. I trust in you more than this fear, more than anything I'm going through. Jesus, I trust in you. This is why I say that beautiful prayer phrase 1,000 times a day, Gary. That's exactly the reason why.
As we speak, I'm looking at an image of divine mercy, which is right within my view here. When I'm at my computer doing my work, I pray that same prayer as well. Jesus, I trust in you. And Debbie, you don't have to feel that trust. Trust isn't a feeling. Trust is a decision. And the more, and I'm sure you found this too, the more you pray that, the more you say, Jesus, I trust in you, the more eventually that feeling, and sometimes it's very, very slight, begins to appear within you. Okay, I'm starting to feel that trust. I don't know how this is going to work out. This problem is a disaster. I'm really scared. However, you know, Jesus, you can work miracles. And somehow I know that you can handle this, you know, and you start to think that way. And I believe that's grace. That's the fruit of that prayer. Jesus, I trust in you. That is a prayer that any of us can memorize. And like you, hundreds of times a day, throughout the day, I pray that prayer.
Mm-hmm. So building that confidence in God is so important. Folks, we're talking about fears today with best-selling author and Catholic speaker and radio host Gary Zimek. This is the last episode of this three-part series on this. And the reason why is when we had Gary the first time visit us, we talked about his newest book, Lord Save Me, and we had so much material to cover. We couldn't do it in 1 hour. So Gary has come back a second time, and this is the third and final time for now. He's a busy speaker, but hopefully he'll visit us again in the near future. But let's make the most of this hour together. So please get out your notebooks and listen and learn, and we'll be right back. Thank you so much for tuning in to this pre-recorded brand new broadcast here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Gary Zimek is our guest today, and I want to thank Michael McCall for putting together this recorded broadcast for all of the family, because we think they're very important so we can continue to learn and grow and deepen our faith life and have confidence in our spiritual lives. Okay, we all know that, you know, it's Friday and we're heading into the weekend of this beautiful, long Labor Day weekend. So we just hope and pray that all of the Take Two family, you have just a wonderful time, a relaxing time, a memorable time. Take lots of pictures. Be safe during this Labor Day weekend. And it would be wonderful, too, if you could tune into the Spirit World tomorrow. We are live tomorrow, and we're excited about that, having a mailbag open forum edition for the Spirit World with Adam Bly. That's at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern. So if you're with family and friends getting ready for the Labor Day festivities, then please tune into the Spirit World tomorrow. But now stay tuned in, because we're going to continue this discussion talking about how we can get those fears calmed down, you know, and really live our best life. And Gary Zimek is willing to help us with that. And he's a great author, and he's lived it. So that's the kind of folks we want to listen to. So Gary, I'm going to have to bring this up, and I know it's a negative, and I try not to be negative. Okay. But I got to bring this up. Everything you just said and I affirmed sounds great. Okay, we trust in God. Mm-hmm. You know, push all our chips in, and we say, okay, Lord, you know, I'm going to free fall into your arms. I, you've got me. Okay, what do you say to those folks that have done that, or they think they have done that, and it still didn't turn out good in their life, or something happened, or they did lose that job, or they couldn't get another job, or they lost their marriage? What do you say to those fine folks?
First of all, Debbie, I am so glad you mentioned this, because we could gloss over this. And you're right. It sounds good. Hey, just trust in Jesus. It'll be fine. Pray. Don't worry. Everything will be great. Right? Until it isn't. And here's, I'm going to share a personal story. My wife, Eileen, would not mind me sharing this with you. But beginning when at the start of the pandemic, Eileen struggled horribly with anxiety. You know, she knows the answer. She lives with the worry guy. I mean, she knows the answers. I know the answers. And it was horrible for her. She wasn't sleeping at all. She wasn't sleeping at night. The next day, she'd maybe fall asleep for a couple minutes. And this went on for a long period of time. And we would pray together. And actually, we got really close together. And we started praying together. And we got closer to the Lord. But she didn't feel any better for a long time. And it wasn't working. And, you know, I was at my wit's end. And I was crying out to the Lord. I was working on another book at the time. And when Eileen wasn't sleeping, I was trying to console her. So I wasn't sleeping. And I got mad at Jesus. I said, look, Jesus, don't you know I have a book to write? You got to give me a break. She's trying to reach out to you. Help her. Let her feel something. And, you know, eventually it came to me, the Lord, basically in the silence of my heart, I felt him say, Gary, I'll help you write the book. You know, it's not all up to you. If I want the book written, the book's going to get written. Well, the book did get written. And eventually Eileen really began to feel peace. But there were times when she was praying, she was crying out. She said, why isn't he answering? Why don't I feel better? And I know this is a common problem. And that's why, and I've experienced this myself. And that's when I've heard well-intentioned preachers saying, well, just pray and you'll feel better. The peace which surpasses all understanding will fill your heart. You know what, Debbie, what I've learned? That peace which surpasses all understanding. And that's biblical. That's Holy Spirit-inspired stuff. I mean, that's legit. Sometimes we don't understand that peace. I might be at peace and not feel peaceful. And I have to credit a former spiritual director of mine, a really good priest who said that to me one time, Gary, you can be at peace, but not feel peaceful. And I said, whoa, that is right. That's powerful. Yeah,
that's powerful. Mm-hmm.
Because peace of mind or peace of soul tells me that, okay, I'm not feeling good about this. I'm still shaking. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but somehow even if it's intellectually, I realized that the Lord is in charge. And that I'm doing all I can, you know, and then you start to get a sense of peace. You can be at peace knowing you're doing all you can, knowing that the Lord is all powerful. But at the same time, your stomach's shaking and you're not peaceful. You don't feel that peace necessarily. So I would say be patient. It is a process. And a funny side note to all of this, Eileen sought out a Catholic therapist during this whole process. And she recognized the name, last name. And she said, does your husband write books? And it turns out that the therapist actually recommends my books to her patients. So that was kind of weird. And Eileen says, okay, here I'm married to this guy.
Yeah.
And but you know, so I think the Lord taught me sometimes that it's not quite that simple.
Right,
but don't
right.
give up on him, right? Jesus, I trust in you. Not a feeling. It's a decision. Faith, being called to walk by faith, doesn't always mean it's going to feel good. And I think Mother Angelica talked about the fact that she had faith, but her stomach just doesn't know it yet.
Yep.
You know, and that's what we have to remember. It's not always going to feel good. And no, it's not always instantaneous. Sometimes turning your problems over to Jesus, saying, Lord, save me, is not going to instantly make you feel better. But over time, I personally can vouch for the fact that you will feel his peace at some point. But, you know, you can't make yourself feel peaceful, but you just leave it up to the Lord. And so it's a struggle. It's a struggle. The spiritual journey is a struggle. But it is absolutely worth, right? But it's worth the effort. I'm sorry, that was a very long-winded answer, but I just love that question.
No. That was beautifully stated, and I thank you so very much. You know, I was thinking two things. A Bishop Barron, you know, he always talks about life as an adventure. You know, it's a roller coaster ride, ups and downs and twists and turns, and it is. It really is that way. But then you were talking about Eileen, and it's so true, Gary. You know, our own closest family members sometimes, you know, they have people right in front of them that can maybe assist them in various ways. But sometimes we need an outsider. We just do. Like, it's so funny because sometimes my husband will ask me a question and I'll answer and he'll go, are you coaching me right now? Is that what you're doing? Are you coaching me?
Yeah.
And right. I'm like, well, yeah, you could use a little coaching. There you go. And, you know, but yet you'll listen to maybe somebody else, you know, and it takes root in them. And then, you know, and it's okay. I mean, it doesn't sound like, it sounds like you have a good sense of humor about that. That's kind of funny that therapist is using your books.
Oh, I know. It really was hysterical. But the one point I want to make about Eileen is she never stopped praying. She never stopped praying. She got angry at God. I got angry at God, but she never stopped praying. So I would encourage it. I mean, this is the problem. Sometimes when we get discouraged, when the Lord's not answering fast enough, when he's not answering in the way we like, we just kind of say, well, he doesn't care, and we move on. Don't ever do that. I would just keep on praying, even if it feels like your prayer isn't bearing fruit. I'm a big believer when I start to pray before the beginning of my prayers, I always say, Lord, you can handle this. You're bigger than any of my problems. And in fact, that's the way Jesus prayed on the night before he died. He said, Father, all things are possible for you. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus didn't need that reminder, but he gave me an example that I need that reminder. I need to remind myself, well, God can take this cross away. He's bigger than this. If he's choosing it to remain, he plans to draw some good out of it. And but that I think that takes time to really believe like that. I don't have it all down. I still have to work on this, but at least I know what I'm supposed to do now. And I'm going to remain consistent and keep praying and keep in contact with the Lord. And I'll tell you what, he doesn't always make the external problems go away, mm-hmm. but he's certainly there with us all the time. He knows what's best. He knows what we need.
Yeah. That's so true. And, you know, we have to practice it. You know, in coaching, we say practice makes permanent instead of practice makes perfect, right? So we say practice makes permanent. You really have to practice each and every day all of these principles of trust and, you know, and letting things go and not trying to, you know, control things and things of that nature that really can keep us really tense, right? It just makes us so tense. And that's not healthy because it'll lead to a premature death. It will because eventually the body just goes, oh, this is ridiculous. You know, I'm not having a good time. This is not working. And so all of these things we're sharing and going back and forth talking about, this is helpful, I think, for those that are listening. And if you know somebody that can benefit from this broadcast or the other two that we did with Gary Zimak or all three or his books, he's got so many of them, the whole library, send them to friends. I mean, I've always said this, Gary, and really, I'm not trying to, you know, overly push your books, but I will tell you, because your books are in size relatively small, where you can put them in a purse or a backpack or something of that nature, I think they make great Christmas gifts, like fabulous Christmas gifts. And I would totally recommend them as gifts. And I mean, get one for yourself. I would recommend you build your own library at home and then give them as gifts and maybe keep a couple on hand so that if you know somebody who's struggling, you can go into the Gary Zimak library and say, okay, you've got stress. Here's a book for you. Let go of anger and stress. You know, you're worrying. Here's give up worry. Or if it's around Lent or Advent, you got two books around the seasons. I mean, it's amazing what you have accomplished in this library. And like I said, I think it is what I love about what you have done is you've taken your lived experiences and you have worked them out into a book that can help other souls. That to me, Gary, is true ministry. I've always said that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And Debbie, I want to say one thing. I have to be totally honest about this. Everything I've written about, we talked about this on the last episode, I believe, is something I can relate to. I've gone through it. I've lived every one of these books. And despite the fact that I'm a coward, I don't like suffering. I'll say it right there. Everybody can hear this. I don't like suffering. Sometimes I am afraid to suffer. I have said to the Lord, and even though it hurt me to say this, Lord, if you need me to go through stuff so that I can help others, bring it on. And I hate to do that.
Oh,
and, you know, but
yeah. I don't
I'm
know.
Scared.
That just made me. Yeah, that made me nervous.
Right? It makes you cringe. But I've said, Lord, I just want to do what you put me on this earth to do. And I believe this is it. And I believe that because of the fact that I've lived this, because I know what it's like to be anxious, because I've had, you know, multiple panic attacks when I was younger and ended up in the emergency room on multiple occasions, because I had heart palpitations, because I've dealt with anxiety, I can understand what goes on in the mind of someone who struggles with anxiety, you know, and that's why I'm not just speaking from a position of authority as someone who's never gone through this. Again, I'm not credentialed. I don't have the medical credentials. And I always tell everybody that. I'm an evangelist. I'm not a therapist. But I've spoken to plenty of Catholic therapists just who are familiar with my work. And I never heard anybody say, no, you're doing the wrong thing. They all said, we love what you do, and this is great. But I always tell people, you know, sometimes you do have to get professional help. And that's what you need to remember. But, you know, as an evangelist, I always say, give Jesus a chance first. Because, you know, nowadays there's a tendency to over-medicate people. And if people just get on medication and start feeling better, well, they're going to forget about Jesus.
Right.
So in my case, my anxiety drew me into a closer relationship with Jesus. So that's, you know, that's my goal, to bring people to the Lord, to give them peace, but peace through Christ. My books, I always tell everybody, they're not self-help books. They're Jesus help books. There's a lot of people who write self-help books and talk about anxiety. Yes, do I incorporate some of those principles in my writings, but I just want to bring souls to Christ.
That is again, beautifully said, Gary. Amazing work you're doing. So Gary Zimek is our guest today, and we're talking about those fears that can be so paralyzing. They just hold you back. They hold you down. They depress you. Your brain just hurts thinking of all the things that, you know, could happen, might happen, should happen, would happen, all the things that I can't predict the future. And then the fear of that is so painful. It really is painful. I know. I've lived it. It's a terrible thing. So what do you say to the person, and we have a couple minutes before the next break, so just if you want to get started, and then we'll hold it there. But what do you say to the person that says, Gary, is it possible that I didn't trust enough? I said I trusted, but I really didn't. Do I have to have that extreme trust in God in order for him to move those mountains, those, you know, produce those miracles that I need? Because I know there's a lot of people that say, okay, I blew it. I didn't trust God fully.
Yeah. Or that my prayers aren't getting answered because my faith isn't strong enough, right? That's another common belief, which I believe is inaccurate. Here's the thing. I go back to the words of Jesus when he said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you're going to be able to move mountains. You're going to be able to do great things. Faith the size of a mustard seed. So what I tell people is, are you praying about the problem? Are you praying about what you're afraid of? If you are, you're exercising your faith. Because if you weren't praying, you wouldn't be exercising your faith. So therefore, you must have at least mustard size faith, right? That's my belief. So if you're praying about the problem, instead of just worrying about it, you know, you might go back and forth a little, but if you keep bringing it back to the Lord in some way, even if you're just saying, Jesus, I trust in you, Lord, save me, Lord, help me, or some words to that effect, then I think you're exercising your faith. And then if the Lord doesn't come through with the answer right away or take your fears away, you know, instantly, then you got to trust that that's by design. Sometimes it's not necessarily that you're doing something wrong. Now, if you're not praying at all, if you're going out to the bar when you're afraid, if you're drinking to excess, you're taking drugs, you're overindulging in food, or you're just, you know, burying yourself in mindless entertainment without praying at all, well, then you're not exercising your faith. Then, you know, you're not doing what the Lord wants you to do. He doesn't command us to feel a certain way. You know, he doesn't say you have to feel unafraid in order to have faith. If you're praying, you have faith. And I believe it grows. Your confidence in the Lord grows. It takes time.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I know the Take Two family, I bet you they're sitting there right now listening and saying, wow, we really appreciate the work you're doing, Gary. So Gary's going to stay with us the rest of the hour. So you hear that music, just that short break. When we come back, more with our dear friend Gary Zimek talking about those fears that come into our lives. Let's get rid of them, guys. We'll be right back. So glad you are tuned in to this special broadcast. It's a pre-recorded, brand new content broadcast with our guest, Gary Zimek. And this is like a mini series, a three-part series. So you can go back to the archive section at EWTN.com and pick up the other two episodes. But this would be a great, we think, a good use of social media to share this broadcast with a friend that needs it. I mean, we all know friends that have these really strong fears that invade their quality of life, and it really makes their life difficult. And this is why we wanted to have these conversations. And Gary's, I think, one of the best people to bring on to talk about this because he's written so many books. And now I want to make sure I get this correct. So is Lord Save Me the 14th or 15th book?
14th.
I'm sorry, I just cut out. You said 15th?
No, the 14th.
14th. Okay, so number 15 is the one you're praying about. Okay, got it. I just wanted to make sure. That's so cool. And I love how you have the years on your, when you go to pick out the book, the years that you published it, because I've known you for so many years, and it's like, wow, that is so cool. I wonder what he was going through then when he wrote that book, and it's kind of interesting to journey along with your life with the books that you've produced. But okay, so Gary, how about this? Let's talk about the fear of dying, the fear of dying alone, the fear of dying ill, the fear of dying, you know, with dementia or Alzheimer's. I mean, these are fears that we are seeing. People are coming to us in our coaching ministry saying, you know, I just can't seem to shake this fear. It's really every day that I live, I'm getting older, and I'm thinking about that. What do you say to those fine folks in the senior years?
I would say I'm thinking about that every day myself. And you know, Debbie, it's weird to think about that. You know, on the last program, I told you I'm 66 now. When I turned 65, I started to think differently. It's like, whoa, what happened here? And you know, I have to come to grips with it, because I've had friends younger than me in the past few years. Several of them have died suddenly. That shakes you up and it makes you think. But here's what I believe. You know, and this might be sort of a general answer, but I really think it is the best approach. The closer I get with Jesus, the more I get to know him, the more I become friends with him, the more I realize how much he loves me, the less afraid I am of my own death or the death of my loved ones. I believe it, and you could correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I believe it has to do with confidence in Jesus, who he is, and that a great reward awaits me in heaven. I don't have to feel it. I don't understand. And there's a lot of days where I think like, I don't understand heaven. You know, I know the Lord said it's going to be good, but man, I know this world, the unknown, that kind of scares me. And I've brought that conversation to Jesus. I said, Lord, I'm scared. Help me better appreciate heaven. You know, my health is good right now, thank God, but that could change. I know all kinds of people who are younger than me again, who are experiencing health issues. I don't want health issues. I've always been a hypochondriac. That's my weakness. So, but the more I've come to know the Lord, and how do I do that? Well, I try to receive the Eucharist every day. I go to confession frequently. I didn't always do these things, but for past several years, I'm really working at this. And I also spend time reading scripture and in prayer. And I try to spend time in the Adoration Chapel. We have a new church that just built an Adoration Chapel, and I'm there all the time, just hanging out with Jesus. The more I spend time with him in one of these various ways, the more confident I become in him and his promises. So I would say, don't try to force yourself, you know, like the fact that it's scary sometimes to think about death because it's the unknown. But the more you know Jesus personally, I feel the less frightening it becomes, both when I look at my own mortality and the mortality of those around me. And I think we shouldn't try our best to not dwell on what if this happens, or what if my wife dies first, or what if my kids die, or what if I die, or what if I get sick, because we don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future, I think. And if the more we get to know him, the more we trust him, the more willing, like Abraham, we will be to say, all right, Lord, you tell me to go, I'm going to start walking. I don't know where we're going, but you know where we're going. I'm going to choose to trust you.
Right. Wow. That was powerful. Okay. So I have a radical approach to this. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to.
Okay. And I know it can sound very morbid, but it's not. It's not for me. And it's actually one of the life coaching you know, tips and tools that we use. And it's always been very helpful. It's an exercise that I did many years ago and with the students in religious education. I got the pastor's permission and the parents, and it was life-changing for this group of young teens. Anyway, I have, and I try to live this every day, Gary, and it's amazing and it's so freeing. Okay, so I have a radical approach to this, and here it is. I mean, we just like you said, we know what God is preparing for us, right? If we are good and faithful, and we know what God has in store for us, we know the end result. So, like Saint Thomas Aquinas said, we came from God, we're traveling back to God. So, in being in that beatific vision, it's beyond any words, any imagination, anything we could ever even conceive, right? It's so much better than all of that. And so, we know what the destination is, and where we're headed. Hopefully, okay. So, obviously, death is inevitable. We know that. We know we're not going to get out of here alive, right? We know we're all going to die. Okay. So what I do every single morning is I put myself and I remind myself and I place myself in a position where I say, Debbie, what if God calls you home today? Every single day. Mm-hmm. And I used to think that was morbid, but it's so freeing because it's similar to what you were saying about going to Mass and receiving the Eucharist and going to confession. It's basically get in a state of grace and stay in a state of grace as long as possible. And this idea of if God calls you home today sometime, are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
And I try to get myself in that place. Now, I don't do it. I don't succeed. It's not perfect every day. But I can tell you, Gary, that's why I'm able to live through some pretty difficult times and health situations and major issues going on. And I can get through it with joy and a sense of peace and a sense of calm because I actually kind of trick my mind into thinking, you know, this could be the day the Lord calls you home. Are you ready? So that's why when I talk to people on the phone, you'll hear me say to all the time to people, even if it's just a conversation I've had a million times with my sister or my brother or my husband, I'll always finish with, I love you, you know, have a great day. Mm. And they're like, you don't have to tell me that 50 times a day. And I'm like, well, yeah, I do. Because if the Lord calls me home today, I want to make sure make sure everything is in a good position. And I have to tell you, since I started practicing that many years ago, Gary, my life is completely different. You know, I've never really shared this publicly until now. This is actually the first time I've ever gotten time to share it. So I would love to hear your comments. Do you think that's a morbid exercise or do you think it's a good one?
Well, I'll tell you what, I do the same thing every day. So that gives you an idea where I stand. I think that's a great idea. Debbie, did you ever hear that old Frank Sinatra quote? Live each day as if it's your last, and one day you'll be right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right? Yep.
And it's kind of, I don't know where he was coming from with that. I don't know how theologically accurate that is, but it's so true.
Yeah.
Because live each day as it's your last. And I do a lot of spiritual reading, and one of the things I read was some of the saints, at least one of the saints, I think multiple saints said this, every time he approaches Holy Communion, he does it as if it's his last time to receive Jesus on earth. And, you know, when you start to live intentionally like that, when you do this, and yeah, some people might find it morbid, but I don't really think it is. I think it's a way of really making the most of each day that the Lord has gifted you with. When I go to bed at night, you know, I've heard it said that when you go to sleep, it's sort of a dress rehearsal for death. I mean, we don't know if we're going to wake up the next day. I know who haven't. So I always feel the same way. Lord, you know, if you give me another day, I'm going to do my best with the help of your grace to please you. And it just sort of gives you a sense of urgency and appreciation for life, you know, and my
and
wife
the fears, and I, the fears can't. Yeah, the fears can't be there though, Gary. If you have there is no fear because what are you afraid of, right?
That's right. Now, it does, and I'm sure you would agree, it takes practice to really let that filter into your thinking, and you don't always feel it, but like you're right. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to deny the fact that I'm going to die. Now, I don't go around thinking about it all day. There's a certain I believe there's a certain amount of self-denial or denial that we have to practice when we live. I can't every time I go in the car think, okay, somebody can hit me and this guy over here, he's going to run into me. But I always bless myself when I start out in the car and I say, Lord, please keep me safe. So that awareness is in the back of my mind. And the more you do that, the more you realize that you're dependent on the Lord and you need him, and he's in control. None of us can control when we die.
Yeah.
It's the Lord who's going to make that decision. So I think that's a great practice, and it makes us not waste time. I've been a big time waster throughout my life.
Me too,
right?
Gary.
I'll get to that tomorrow, you know.
Yeah.
I'll call that person tomorrow. Well, you know, two people. Right. I told my wife this the other day. Two people, good friends of mine, I have their text still. They both said, let's get together for lunch one day. They both died suddenly.
Oh.
And this is over a period of several years.
Sure.
So therefore, I hate to tell this to my current friends, but I've reached out to a few people and I said, look, can we do lunch sometime together? I don't want to tell them, you know, you could be next, but it's the real, right? It's the truth. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to lose any moment that the Lord has given me to really do what he wants me to do.
Yeah, I love what you said, you know, live intentionally, you know, have that sense of urgency, you know, live life to the fullest, because you don't, none of us know when God's going to call us home. We could finish this broadcast right now as soon as we're done and God could call us home. I mean, did we do our best work? And that's what I love about living like this is I feel like I'm putting forth my best effort and I'm trying my hardest to make things right. I'll tell you something that's just golden, Gary, and this is something that I didn't think was going to happen. And with this kind of radical approach that I do every day. And by the way, I think you were going to make another comment or tell a story about your family or Eileen, and I hope I didn't cut you off. So try to remember what you were going to share. But one of the other things that has come as a result of this practice that my husband and I do every day is that we don't argue as much. And the reason why is because when we get to the end of the day, I'll say to him, now, do we really want to go to sleep? And I mean, what if God calls one of us home? And then we both just let everything go. We don't really have those rifts that we used to have, which would, like you said, would carry on to the next day or the next day, and we'll deal with it later. And the other thing too, Gary, what we do is same thing what you were talking about, having those lunch with friends and stuff. When we have a thought about somebody, we will quickly pick up the phone or text them and say, hey, just thinking of you. Just wanted you to know.
Wow, that's good. Mm-hmm. That is very good. I love that.
Yep. But it does make life more enjoyable rather than worried about, am I going to end up in an assisted living place? And is anybody going to come visit me? And am I going to die alone? I mean, to worry about those things only is going to make your life, your daily life, so much more heavier and sad and with all these other fears that are going to come into view. Because would you agree with this, Gary? Once you entertain one fear, there's always 10 more behind them.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, when Eileen went to therapy that she was told, and this is really good because I think we both learned from this process, is the fact that when we turn inward and we have this spiral of worry, the fears are limitless. They always go worst case and there's no end to them. You know, if you get a bad medical diagnosis, well, you at least know what you're dealing with. But when you have these what if fears, there's no limit to them. And we can conjure up this increasingly horrible scenario in our heads that's not even real, you know? So we got to be careful about that. The reality is oftentimes when the Lord allows us to experience suffering, and we have to remember that he doesn't will evil, he does not will death, he doesn't will sickness, but he allows these things to happen sometimes because he can bring a greater good out of them. When he allows us to go through the valley at times, he's doing that so that he can assist us and he will give us the grace to deal with it. And that's, you know, that's a challenge for somebody like me. I'm working on that. I think I've gotten better with the help of his grace on that. The fact that if I have a crisis, my first instinct is to say, Lord, take it away. I don't want to deal with it. Take it away. But, you know, Jesus, in his wisdom, he taught us. The night before he died in his agony on the garden, that it's okay to pray that way. Lord, if it be your will, take this away. However, not my will, but your will be done. And I'm learning to get better at that. Even if I'm thinking like, oh, I don't really want to deal with this. I really wish you'd just take the problem away. I'm learning to mean it from the heart, even though I don't feel it. Lord, your will be done. If you need me to go through this, I trust that you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Amazing. I love this conversation. I could talk to you forever because I think, you know, it's just so important that we have these kinds of discussions because when you think about it, Gary, so many of us, we hold all of these worries and fears, anxieties, you know, all these things and the thoughts, we hold them so deep inside of us because a lot of times we're embarrassed to share with friends or family members. We don't want to appear weak or vulnerable or that we have an issue that's going around in our brain. But that's not true. You know, people are people and we're dealing with a lot in this world. And I've said this all the time. Like I get so, tell me if I'm wrong on this because I sometimes get so irritated, you know, when people are like, oh, my life is so perfect. You know, my relationships are great. My marriage is great. You know, everything's wonderful. My health is great. Finances are great. I'm like, really? You don't have a single problem?
Right. Oh, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. I love the honesty. That's what I love what you and Jerry do. It's so important that your voices are out there, that you're getting this message out. You're real. And, you know, you're carrying on the legacy of Mother Angelica because that's why I've listened to her for years. I read all of her books because she's so honest. She talks about her temper and she struggles with people and people are annoying and Christianity would be easy if it wasn't for people. It's like, really, Mother, it's okay to feel that way? Yeah, but she was able to rise above her feelings and focus on the Lord and do the right thing, even when she didn't feel like doing the right thing. I struggle with that every day. And that's why I want people to know it's okay. You know, it's okay if you worry sometimes. It's okay if you feel angry inside. Feelings aren't right or wrong. It's what you do with those feelings. And it takes time. You know, it takes time. I'm a work in progress. I'll be working at this till the day I die. I know it.
Me
but
too.
I've gotten better, right? The Lord's helped us. You talk about not fighting. Eileen and I hardly ever fight anymore. We used to have some doozies because we're both passionate people. And we get really spun up. And I like to get the last word in. But the help of God's grace, we sometimes we'll start to get angry at one another and we'll laugh at each other.
Yeah,
we'll start to say, oh, my gosh, listen to us. You know, that's great.
I know. It's so much more relaxing and peaceful in the home, too. I love it. Okay, so in the final few minutes we have, I wish we had longer, but we don't. So I just wanted to share with our listeners, Mother Angelica Answering the Call. It's Sunday at 2 and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Timeless words of wisdom from EWTN foundress Mother Angelica, just what Gary was talking about, featuring the best of mother's advice to listeners, hosted by Father Joseph Mary and Doug Keck. And that's Sunday, 2 and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So that was so important that you mentioned Mother Angelica, Gary. So that's perfect. Okay, in final few minutes, I kind of want to wrap everything up and I want to leave you ample time to share with our listeners what you want them to know going into, you know, we're fast approaching Advent, the holidays, the end of the year. Yeah. I mean, this year is going very quickly. You wrote this new book, Lord Save Me, and I would recommend our listeners get that. You can also sign up for Gary's daily reflections at followingthetruth.com. But Gary, what do you want to share with our listeners to have them get prepared to make the most out of this rest of this year? Because that's what I think sometimes, you know, we're right there, you know, turning the corner towards the end of the year already. And people are like, wow, another wasted year. So what do you want to share with the Take Two family?
You know, I want to, I really want to follow up on what you said, Debbie, about living each day as if it's your last. I mean, take this day as, treat it as if it is your last, treat it as a gift from the Lord. And know that there is hope. You know, whatever looks hopeless, if you think I can never change, well, listen, I am living proof that one can change. And with the help of God's grace, you can change. You can worry less. You can have less of a temper. You can be less lazy. I mean, you know, all these things that I have struggled with and continue to struggle with, I do see improvement, but it takes time. And I would say, be patient with yourself. Don't try to put God on the spot and ask him to change things instantly. He'll change things in his time. You know, he's got his own schedule, but don't ever lose hope and don't ever give up on Jesus. Just keep approaching him. Ask for help. If you're struggling with something, ask for help. If your faith is weak, say, Lord, please increase my faith. And then, you know, pray for things that seem impossible. I do that all the time and be willing to accept the answer. But every now and then, the Lord's going to send a miracle your way that'll really boost your faith. My daughter's 27-year-old twin girls, Mary and Elizabeth, they were given a 10% chance of being born alive. So every day I look at them, I see two miracles, you know. Mm-hmm. So
oh, yeah.
I see what Eileen went through with her health issues over the past year, one thing after another. She's doing great now. And I praise the Lord for that. I know so many people who have been granted miracles. You know, so the Lord has answered in miraculous ways many times. But, you know me, like, okay, well, yeah, but that's great. But now I got these problems, Lord, that are they don't appear solvable. So what are you going to do about those? And then I force myself to remember, you know what? I've seen miracles. I can't expect a miracle every time because then it would be a miracle. So keep going. Don't give up on the Lord. Let him work things out. And it will get better. That's what I say to people often. No matter what you're going through, no matter how impossible it looks, it will get better. Not always externally, but internally always, you know? God's grace can do an amazing transformation on us internally so that we can deal with the most serious of problems. Yeah, we're going to have real problems in life. It's nothing new. We're called to become Jesus. Look at his life. Look at the life of the Blessed Mother, St. Joseph. The saints, these people struggled, but they were at peace. So we can find peace even in the midst of our struggles. Don't ever lose hope. With God, all things are possible.
Amen to that, Gary. That was fabulous. You know, as you were talking and you were talking about your beautiful family and your girls, I love your girls, by the way. I watch them on Facebook. They're so sweet. I just love them so very much. But you know what's so cool? Your daughters are going to have the legacy of their dad. Think about that. You know, your life is in these books, and they're going to have that legacy. Yeah. That is the coolest thing. You know,
yeah, they're not going to be able to get away from me. Even when I'm gone, they got the books, they got all the podcasts. I got
the girls.
But and you know what, Debbie, that inspires me. That keeps me honest. It keeps me grounded because I want to be a good example. Am I always? No, but I really want to get better. I want to get better so I can really lead others to Christ. And I don't want to be leading a double life. You know, that's why you said last time.
Me either.
You know,
no.
I want people to see my warts and everything and know that I'm trying. And I want my girls to really see that.
Oh, you are blessed. You have a beautiful family. And I'm sure your daughters just absolutely think you're the greatest hero. And I'm going to cry because I've seen your family together. It's beautiful.
Thank you. They do. And they love you guys, too. They listen to your show all the time. We're all big fans, you know, so.
That's really? Cool. Well, yeah. And I want to throw the nice, kind words you said about Take Two back to you and your ministry work, because we said this, you're right, in the previous episode, it's time for people just to get the real raw truth. They need it. They can't have this glossed over, this social version of things. I mean, it's not helping people. Let's really get down and dirty and figure out what's going on and have people, you know, elevate out of it, rise out of it, so they can live their best life and they can get home to God in a beautiful way. I'm a firm believer of that, Gary, and I think you do that in your ministry. I believe, in my humble opinion, your ministry is anointed, and I think that is wonderful. Please, folks, check Gary out and all his books, his whole library at followingthetruth.com, or pick up his newest book, Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard. Wow, what another great broadcast. I hope our listeners got a lot out of it. And if you did, please share it with a friend and go back and listen to the other two episodes and share those with friends. Gary, we only have a minute. I hate to even say goodbye, so I'll say bye for now because we definitely need to have you back. Maybe you can come back for Advent.
I would love to. And Debbie, I'm excited. I had such a great time being. Every time I'm on with you, I end up feeling better. So can I come on when I'm feeling down? You always bring me up. Thank you.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. You have an open invitation. You don't ever have
Thank
to ask.
You
can just say, I'm feeling down. Can I get on Take Two? There you go.
I'm very grateful for everything, Debbie. Keep up the great work. You're in my prayers. And, you know, I appreciate your prayers as well and the prayers of everyone listening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're definitely following your work and say hi to the family. And we hope you have a beautiful Labor Day weekend, Gary, with you and the girls. And that's wonderful. So, yeah, folks, this is another great episode of Take Two. So please go back and listen to it again and again and again so that you can have your best life, your most confident life. And we want to thank Michael McCall, our producer, for putting together this pre-recorded broadcast just for you. Thank you to all the affiliates that carry Take Two. You're doing such a great work for your listeners. We get the emails all the time. And as a matter of fact, if you want to send us an email, all you have to do is send it to take2@ewtn.com. Okay, that'll do it. So now I get to say, please tune in tomorrow for The Spirit World with Adam Bly. We have an open forum, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern. And I know I can speak for Jerry Usher. We want to wish the whole entire Take Two family a beautiful and blessed Labor Day weekend. We'll see you real soon.